Welcome to I'm Trying to Think, episode 31. I'm Chuck Warner, and with me as always is Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hey.
I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. You can visit them at foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. And you can follow us on Twitter.com/I'm Trying to Think. Become a fan on Facebook. Just look for it. Do the searchy thing. You know how to do it. If you're not a fan by now, what the hell? I mean, seriously, what the hell? The same 30 people have been listening to us, but not listening to us, really, for
that's dedicated. Ages, that's a core. We have a core fan base. And then nobody. We have a core in the desert. That's what we got.
This week's song is, I Haven't Met You Yet, or I think maybe just Haven't Met You, I don't care, by Michael Bublé.
I don't know. He's a guy. People like him. I don't know. There are parts like, it's weird. I feel like there was a point where I knew everything that was going on in music, and now I only know parts of it. Because, like, I think that may have literally been the first time I've ever heard Michael Bublé.
Bublé.
Who, yes, has a silly name.
I'd heard that song, and I saw him on Saturday Night Live. And he was very funny on Saturday Night Live. He was with, John Hamm? Is that guy's name right?
Yeah, yeah.
They did a commercial for a, you know, restaurant that they started together called Hamm and Bubbly. And, you know, he kept... And John Hamm was very threatening, and there were overtones of violence. And Michael Bublé was kind of his captive that he was forcing to sing at the Hamm and Bubbly restaurant.
I see.
So he's got a sense of humor. No, he's Canadian.
I mean,
he's Canadian, so that means he's got to be nice. It's like
I'm not anti-Bubbly. I just have not heard the Bubbly.
I like artists. Sometimes I like artists and they have no sense of humor, but I like them anyways. But even if you're not exactly my type of music, which actually I do like kind of lounge singers, so this is in the realm of stuff I like. If you have a good sense of humor, especially about making fun of yourself, I happen to probably like you more.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, Justin Timberlake is not doing all the music that I love, but I do. I mean, it's all right. And more to the point, he has a great sense of humor, so I'm way into him. As far as, you know, if I got to pick who goes to heaven, he would be on the list.
Okay.
I'm not saying I have all his albums.
No, just most of them.
But I wouldn't hate a person who did.
Right, right. Also, can we talk about this setup? We're kind of in a different setup right now.
And I didn't want to talk about, this is the new...
I think we got to talk about it. We got
this
a
is
new
the new studio setup. Studios, yeah. We moved into a new studio. A couple it's advantages over the old
crazy.
Studio.
It's crazy, because I'll tell you why. There are doors. Monitors. Doors. We do have doors.
We have a door that we can close. That's big. Second big advantage, no animals in the room.
That is an underrated plus
our
of a recording
studio. Our previous studio was kind of an open-air farm kind of thing. Now we're in a room. And it's
we're in a room.
Better.
It's closed. There are no animals. We've got four monitors spread out in front of us now. So I feel like we should be setting like DEFCON to a number.
Yeah, we've got. Well, we can look at all kinds of things. I'm in here. We got a big screen up top, so I can get us to a. Let's say, here's some clackety clacking of this clacky clack keyboard. We can go to Google, right? Nobody like looking
at
the news.
That. Then we got a second monitor for more computer stuff. We got
that's
a giant television
giant
in case
television.
We need to watch TV.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a very technologically advanced room. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I feel really good about it. I did want to mention it, though, because people might notice a quality increase. I'm not saying they will, but they might.
Yeah, new settings inspiring us to be better. Also, no animals like scratching cages.
Yeah, no animals scratching cages. It's a good step forward. The door is huge.
No, it's about regular size.
The door is a huge development.
Yes.
Okay. It's much better.
I'm a dick.
Door is much better than no door. Oh, it's Easter.
Yeah.
I forgot until I looked at Google News.
It is totally Easter.
You should know that even less than I do.
No, but I was aware.
Yeah, I mean...
No, it's Easter, it's Passover, It's opening day. Big day today.
Opening day.
Opening day.
You care about that.
I do.
I don't.
I mean, if you had to pick one of those three things, you're like,
who's,
which does like, Dave care about?
On opening day, is there one, like, opener that is big? Is there a series of openers?
Actually, I think tonight there's just one, then tomorrow is the first day with, like, a full schedule of baseball games.
Do you
games.
Know who's playing tonight?
Tonight, Red Sox-Yankees, yep.
Ooh.
So they're starting that up.
They're starting with the big one.
Yeah, they know
Even
how to
I
play
know
the
that.
TV.
I'm
yeah.
well outside.
Yeah, they know how to play the TV.
We're going with, like, Pirates-Rockies.
No. Pirates-Dodgers is tomorrow, though.
Pirates-Dodgers. That doesn't yep. sound too good either.
Well, no, that gets you one big media market. And Pittsburgh.
And Pittsburgh.
Woo. I mean, L.A. is a big city.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
and
what
if,
I hear.
Even if 5% of the people care about the Dodgers, that's more than all the people in Pittsburgh who care about the Pirates.
Yep.
So, happy Easter.
I hope you had a happy Easter, because it's not a live program,
no.
but...
Happy Easter.
Okay.
Period. Dave's trying to get us into a happy holidays thing, where he's skewing it.
No, I'm
this
just saying
is about
Easter.
This show is about Jesus.
No, I'm just saying Easter already happened
and I
to
know
the listener.
That you're a Jew and that you might be uncomfortable about this, but this is a Jesus show. Jesus inspires me to get up in the morning to come
hey,
and do this
look,
show.
Chuck, I don't care what you may do or what they may do. I don't care what you may say. Jesus is just all right with me, but that's not the point. The point is not that Doobie Brothers song.
You know,
the
Doobie Brothers
song is... Now, hold on.
Okay.
I just want to say, the point is, I'm saying that in the time frame, you know, when the timelines have collapsed and the listener is listening to this show,
mm-hmm.
Easter already happened a couple of days ago.
Yeah, but...
So I hope they had a happy Easter, is all I'm saying.
The song, Jesus Is Just All Right, by the Doobie Brothers, really, it opens a lot of questions for me about... The totality of their faith, if you will.
It's
first
a
of
tepid
all, it's not
endorsement.
Jesus is great.
It's a tepid endorsement.
Right. It's not our God is an awesome God, okay? It is Jesus is just yes. all right with me. Like, it's not 70s slang that we're missing out of the point of. No. It's not really... I mean, all right meant... It was pretty good in the era that the song was released.
Yeah, it's all right. All I mean, right, it's definitely right. more like that. It's... You
but...
Know. It's like, you know, hey, this is all
right
with me.
Right.
I'm cool with it.
Right.
And that's basically what it's saying.
Yeah.
But that's still tepid for
it's
Jesus.
Very
tepid.
It's tepid for Jesus.
I mean, it's good, like, you know, if my buddy Ted comes over, he's like, oh, Ted's all right with me. It's like, okay, cool. You like Ted just fine.
Ted is good with
you
me.
You can
yeah.
get along with Ted.
You can get along.
But for your transcendental revelatory God, that's...
You gotta use
that's
a little...
That's tepid.
You gotta use heavier language. Mm. And that song's also big on the friend in Jesus. You know, he's my friend. You know, it's not, I got a friend in Jesus, different song, but, you know.
Yeah, that's Spirit in the Sky.
Right, but they break it down, and Jesus is just all right, they break it down and go the Jesus, he's my friend part, you
right.
know, and then they bring it back up. But that's not that great. I mean, that's a huge, audacious praise either.
No, the song is, it's very just, Jesus, he's my friend, he's alright, he's cool, I got no problems with Jesus.
And the other part of the song, I don't care what they may say, I don't care what they may do. Who's doing and saying stuff, man? Who's gonna do and say stuff that's gonna somehow change your incredibly lackluster, wishy-washy praise of your transcendental God?
Yeah, that's true, because you'd expect... Yeah, now that I think about it, that the build-up in that is out of whack. Because the idea
right.
is you expect, you know, okay, I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. He's all right.
Yeah, Jesus
is
just all right.
I'm going to stand up and boldly proclaim against this fierce, apparently fierce opposition.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. I feel okay about it. I mean, if I were to write a song right now about the fact that Futurama is coming back to TV with new episodes, I would give greater praise than that.
Wait, hold on. Is
All
it?
Right. Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's pretty
oh, yeah,
good.
Baby. Comedy Central picked it up.
I did not know.
I think that, yeah, I think they signed everybody. In the commercials, at least, they have all the original voices.
Oh, rock and roll.
So that's exciting. Yeah, I knew about that. I mean, I think it actually came through a couple months ago, and I knew about it then, that they actually had finished signing everybody. Because the problem was getting everybody... to sign back on. And again, we're more excited than the Doobie Brothers were about Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. My sort of pleased exclamation of rock and roll. That was that. That's, you know, better than it's just all right.
It's,
you know,
better than it's just
all right. I wasn't like, you know, Futurama's all right. Yeah, I don't hate it. You know, so, I said rock and roll.
I hope everybody out there is having, who thinks Jesus is just all right, has had a happy Easter. Dave's talking about timeline collapsing over there. He don't even know what's going on.
I don't know.
I could talk about waveform collapse for an hour. I mean, this whole show could be about waveforms collapsing, Dave. But do you know what it would sound like?
Boring?
No, it would be like me going, what the fuck is going on? That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's basically, if you look at the whole, you know, double slit experiment.
Right.
Cat in a box kind of Schrodinger thing going there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, waveforms collapsing because of the observer. That is mind-boggling.
Yep. Physics after a certain point, like, physics is kind of an interesting science to me because it just starts in this place where it's like, okay, yeah, you drop the rock, it lands on your foot, and this is like, that makes perfect sense. Thanks, physics.
Yeah, it's great.
And then you just sort of drill down into it until it becomes gibberish.
Yeah. Until it makes no sense. The thing about it is, you know, physics started as an application of figuring out the observed motion and mechanics that we see, right? And the problem is then people, I'm not going to name names, but certain people started to look at space and the planets. And then they were a little like, wait a second. And then it all goes down from the hill from there. Gravity comes into play. That's where you start screwing with stuff. Because while gravity makes sense easily on a
terrestrial
scale of like,
level.
Yeah, a terrestrial level, it gets complicated when you involve a ton of planetary bodies.
Yeah.
And then you start to figure out, hey, why is the speed of light a constant? That's not right. Why is light both wave-like and particle-like? That's no good. And that's where you really start to get in trouble.
I don't know.
I mean, and Newton could have hung out.
Yeah,
we would
have
had a lot of fun.
But I don't know. Wasn't he sort of a very religious madman also, though?
Oh, yeah. There is that.
But
he's one of those Oxford guys.
Yeah, a little hoity-toity.
I don't know about that, yeah.
But we could have talked about physics.
We would have had a good old time.
Well, until we tried to write something down and we used Leibniz notation.
Ooh. That
faux
is true.
Pas.
Yeah.
Faux.
He would have been upset about. We could have hung with Leibniz, though. Leibniz.
Yeah.
He would have been good. We would have had a ball.
Yeah, we just sit there talking monads mostly.
Laplace. We could have had a good time with Laplace, I think. I mean, we could have partied with a lot of physicists and mathematicians.
Mm-hmm. But actually, wrapping back around to physics, you know, you're putting most of the blame on basically studying space.
Yeah.
But I think you can't give Democritus a pass here for getting us started on this whole atomism nonsense.
Yeah.
Because, man,
you
know what
gets
fucking
direction.
Complicated,
yeah.
I can tell you right now.
Yeah.
Particles. Particles.
Yeah, subatomic particles and, atomic particles even.
If we just kept on going on the full roots of either just kept on arguing about which of the four basic elements constituted the world primarily.
Would have been a good time.
Then we'd be fine.
You're like, I made a towel. What is this? They're like, well, it gets rid of water, so there's got to be fire in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably some earth.
Earth. Got to be earth.
And on one hand, but on the other hand, though, it causes you to
dry. So there's air.
So there's air. Yeah, so a towel is everything except water.
That makes
all
sense.
Right. Yeah, now let's bang off and get a drink.
Bang off and get a drink, right?
Man. The philosophy, material science, like that philosophy was much easier then. I mean, every now and then you just had like one wise ass who'd be like, everything is the aperion. And then just like, oh, well, fuck you, whichever guy that was. I don't know.
I don't either.
Anaximenes, Anaximander.
Anaximass, yeah.
Anaxiconda. I don't know.
I don't know. All right, well, I did want to deliver one other piece of bad news before we go ahead and take a break, which I know we're itching
for. Wait,
what
was the other piece? What was the first piece of bad news?
I don't know. The physics screwed up. Or
okay.
The Jesus is just all right. That's okay. Kind of bad news. That's going to be bad news for Mary. Imagine, though, if...
A lot of people have put a lot of stake in him being awesome. Yeah,
imagine if he came down to Earth again for the second coming, right?
Yeah.
And he goes and he talks. He gathers, like, all the top people from various churches. Pope, right. Whoever else is around that he can get, right?
Yeah.
And they go to a room. Nobody sees him, right? They just, we all know, we've all heard the rumor. He's come back, right? Uh-huh. They all go into the room. They come out a half hour later, like even 5-10 minutes later, right? And the announcement they give to the world is, Jesus is just all right. That's going to be disappointing news for a lot of people.
Well, because, I don't know, here there's a, it's not just Jesus is just all right, though. It's Jesus is just all right with me.
Yeah.
If Jesus is just all right, that's just straight up disappointment. But Jesus is just all right with me.
It's probably still a huge disappointment.
Still disappointing. But it's tinged in a weirder way.
It might also be that if the Pope comes out and says, hey, Jesus is just all right with me, that means some people are going to find him to be a jerk.
Yeah.
It's like, you're actually probably going to think he's an asshole. But he's all right with me.
Yeah.
That's no good.
No.
All right, so more bad news. And in the mathematician world, this is going to be our last prime episode for a while.
Oh,
we're not
going
to hit our next prime.
31.
Yeah, we're not going to hit our next prime episode until, like, July. So, I'm sorry.
Wait, what are we in? If we got 31, then it's 37?
Yeah. The next, yeah.
37.
And then, I think, I don't know, it's 41, I guess, after that, so that's pretty short order. Because I don't think 41's a...
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So,
yeah.
All right, to all you prime number fans, enjoy this while it lasts.
No, seriously. So we get, yeah, then you get 41, and then it's 43, maybe. I think you hit it twice right there. Then you have to wait around. Anyways. It's at least 6 episodes. I'll go try to divide numbers later.
Yeah, maybe if you want to go right now, we can totally take a break. You can get your number on.
I see how it is, Dave. So we're going to take a short break, and we will be back with more I'm Trying to Think. Welcome back to episode 31 of I'm Trying to Think. Dave Stern, Chuck Warner, talking about the last classic rock song ever. That was Jesus Is Just Alright by the Doobie Brothers. Long Train Runnin' by the Doobie Brothers, I think, last classic rock song ever. Last true classic rock song ever.
What year did Long Train Runnin' come out?
I don't really know, but it doesn't matter. It's not about the year, it's about the style.
This is just purely philosophical.
Yeah, Long Train Running, you can start to hear the influence of disco in it. And to me, that's kind of where you lose your
I don't know, but on the other hand, I mean, a lot of, you know, classic rock artists took, like, a real...
73.
They took their sad disco turn, and then they turned away. Actually, if it's 73, it probably wasn't even a disco influence. It was probably a funk influence.
Either one. Yeah, I mean, take funk influence, that's fine.
I feel like saying that classic rock, there were no classic rock songs after 1973, is a tricky proposition.
Well, you can argue with me, but I will fight you to the death. So that solves that. Alright, so welcome back. We're going to talk more about... it's not his birthday, it's his death day, but
no,
happy
not
death day.
No,
Jesus.
No,
it's
no,
also
no, no.
Happy it's resurrection
not,
day.
It's not his death day.
You're right, resurrection day.
That's Good Friday, which, you know, I feel like that's almost like a Seinfeld comedy cliche at this point. I don't know if Seinfeld himself did it, but I feel like, you know, it's almost a comedy cliche, so I will only briefly say, you know, why is it Good Friday? When is the day he dies? Blah, blah, blah. You know, cause,
it doesn't make any sense.
No,
from any standpoint.
I mean, I guess it's because, you know, it's the day when, you know, yay, he died for our sins, but that's still weird.
It's a hard that's a difficult row to hoe, if you will, that there's anything good about Good Friday. Well, and actually, let's talk about all this. Let's talk about all this. This show, we cover a lot of philosophy, a lot of religion. We do a lot of dissection. I don't know if I want to say deconstruction, because
no,
I don't know how I feel
I'm pretty
about
sure
that,
you but. Don't, because that is part of the postmodernism that so gets your knickers in a twist.
You know how I feel about postmodernism outside of, like, arguing against it.
Yeah, knickers twist.
Well, like I said, I've talked about how, you know, Nietzsche exists almost to pose a challenge to people who have no belief in God, who have lost their belief in God, right?
Yeah.
He stands as a challenge to say, are you going to fall into nihilism, which is not what he wanted.
No, no. Man, people who think Nietzsche is a nihilist are not people who read or understood Nietzsche.
Right. He's saying, are you going to become a nihilist, which is like the losing end of things, or are you going to find a new set of values, right? Now, I might not agree with his set of values, but he stands as a challenge. To me, like a post-structuralist or post-modernist, if there's anything good about the idea, it is that it stands, again, as a challenge to find purpose in things that otherwise might be purposeless or relative, you know, to find a non-relative, objective value in something. So, I mean, you know, I don't like postmodernism, but only because to me it's the challenge, and so you have to fight it. You have to fight it, Dave.
Okay.
So that's where I stand on that. Anyways, so let's deconstruct, if you will.
I'm not sure I will, but I get where you're going. Right. Let's talk about. Let's talk about it. Jesus,
first of all,
Good Friday.
First of all,
the resurrection, the rebirth, the stone moves from the thing.
You never went through. Well, it depends on who you talk to, whether the stone moved or not. I think three gospels it moves, one gospel it doesn't. You know, three gospels, yeah. they come in the morning, one gospel, it's the sun hasn't yet risen. It's whatever. But actually, let's start with a counting thing, first of all. He dies Friday afternoon or night, right?
Right.
And I know that you're not familiar with the Apostles' Creed, but he descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again.
I'm pretty familiar with Apostle Creed. He beats Rocky in one, and there's a draw in round two.
That's Apollo Creed.
Pretty sure it's Apostle Creed.
I don't know.
Pretty sure I know this.
Pretty sure I've never seen a Rocky movie.
Yeah, yeah. So why are you trying to correct me?
I don't know, because I hear references.
I'm saying no. Third movie, you know, Rocky and Apostle Creed on the beach. Awkward man hug. He gets killed by Barabbas in four.
I must break you.
Yes.
So you have the third day. I mean, really, Friday afternoon to Saturday would be one day, right? To Sunday would be 2 days. So how does that... the math is not working for me.
I think they just changed the holiday for productivity.
I don't know what they did, but I can tell you something's wrong there. Also, let's go with Trinitarianism, you know, your ye olde Catholicism and most other... I think most other forms of Christianity.
Is there any modern form of Christianity that's not super generally Trinitarian? I mean,
I thought that Jehovah's Witnesses were specifically anti-Trinitarians.
I think you're right, yeah, because I thought for the most part, early Christians did a good job of, I mean, that was kind of the early Christian sort of bête noir, you know, that was kind of what they did. Man, you know, we can look this up next commercial break.
Right.
But there's a really strong chance I just used the phrase bête noir in a way that makes no fucking sense.
A bête noir to me would mean black beast, I think.
Yeah, I don't know, because it's a phrase that means something, but I'm pretty sure I just dropped it when I meant to use raison d'etre.
Raison d'etre is, I mean, it's challenging to use French phrases when you don't speak French.
Yeah.
I just totally hit my mic, so cut that out when we... That's edited. Get that out, yeah. Bête noir, dark beast, used to refer to an object or abstract idea in particularly that is particularly disliked or avoided.
Oh, no, then that made perfect sense. I stand by my statement. I was completely correct.
All right.
Yeah, kind of a bet noir for early Christianity was that pretty much anyone who was not being Trinitarian, it was like really, you know, Arianism, all those random offshoots.
That don't exist anymore.
No, because they got murdered a lot.
Yeah, they got murdered
a lot. They got murdered a bunch.
So he is himself. So he's God, and he's Jesus. He's also his son, all right? So that's a little confusing. But regardless of how you believe that all works, or you compress it, I don't care. But at some point, he says to himself, I'm going to be born as myself and then die. You know, in a sacrificial manner. Jesus' sacrifice is meant to fulfill all the sacrifices of the Old Testament that used to be necessary, right? The blood and burning of goats and whatnot. Jesus takes the place of all those, which means he sacrificed himself to himself to end all other sacrifices will no longer be necessary because I've sacrificed myself to myself. Also, all sins are forgiven. Okay, but he's God, right? So I mean, he couldn't just be like, all sins are forgiven. Well, that was too hard. What was going on?
Oh, you mean? Okay, when you said he couldn't, at first it didn't sound like you were saying that in a question way. You were saying he couldn't do that. It's like, well, why not?
Yeah,
okay,
why not?
You're saying he could.
Why not?
Okay, now at this point I'll say the, I guess in this case it wouldn't be devil's advocate position. Because, you know, but, you know, it's the sort of Christian position on this. There's a certain kind of Christian intellectual. There's two things. One, there's like, there's kind of two kinds of Christian intellectual sort of positions on this that I understand.
Yeah, I'm going to argue against the intellectual part, but go ahead.
No, I would say there are people who are legitimately intelligent who, you know, whether due to their
intelligent
opinion,
intelligent is different than intellectual.
Okay, in this case, that's quibbling over specific definitions, which I will leave to another time because that sounds like 10 minutes.
Possibly, but I would say there is distinction and difference there, but regardless.
I don't know about that, but anyhow, okay, there are two sort of positions of, you know, I'll say thoughtful Christians. Okay.
Okay, we would call them apologists, that's the word for them.
Not all of them are, though, I would say.
Well, people who try to reason through this and give good, you know, somewhat logical reasons, or at least reasons that fit a chain of ideas,
well,
I'd call them all apologists.
I would say that is one of the positions I was going to talk about would be the apologist thing, you know. A lot of people, you know, trying to, you know, explain and comprehend how that idea works. And, you know, again, to kind of be defensive for apologists, you know, there's a lot of that literature that a lot of, you know, intelligent people have written.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't read it because for me that would just be like, well, if I don't believe the whole thing, then I feel like there are ideas I could better spend my time understanding.
Almost definitely.
But I will admit that they may have a point where they're just like, well, how can you think it's all ridiculous if you haven't even read our stuff? But it's kind of crazy. I don't know.
Somebody can represent their arguments to you in a very short form. And trust me, I can. In most cases.
But then the second kind of tradition which I understand less than a sort of apologism, but I think respect more, is the kind of Kierkegaardian thing.
Where are you going with that? With just the
just the sort of general sort of, again, in the sort of, you know, 15-second summary of Kierkegaard, which means, you know, it doesn't make sense, but to be a Christian is just believe it anyway. Just do it. You just go. I understand that less, but I respect it more because you're not trying to make nonsense make sense.
I don't think I respect it or understand it. You know, Kierkegaard kind of, I think, was saying more, you have to believe it because that's what faith is, and you have to have faith to be a Christian. You have to believe it because that's all that there is. it's not approachable by, you know, logos and...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sorry, I may have just rephrased your statement in a way where the audience is like, why? You didn't say anything different. But to me, somehow that was different.
You did say
something
different. Okay. Because you used the word logos. Oh. So it's like what I said, but more pretentious.
I also used the word faith, which I think is vital.
True. That's pretty important.
Because, I think that if you don't, like the way you said it, if you just thrown the word faith in there, it would have made a little more sense to me. But anyways, sorry, I was momentarily distracted by the screen, which was showing me that Bette Noire is also an album by Brian Ferry.
Oh.
Yeah, go Brian Ferry. Hmm. I don't think this is the first time that Brian Ferry has come up on the I'm Trying to Think podcast.
Or if it is, I can tell you, it won't be the last.
It won't be the last, my friends. So anyways, he sacrifices himself to himself. On the second day, not necessarily the third day. Maybe the third day, a long time ago, and we compressed it to two. I don't know. Maybe we're pretty lazy about the whole thing. I don't really get it.
I know, I feel like Sunday's already the day off, so... But even as I'm saying this, early Christianity did not have problems throwing in extra festivals, so I feel like they would have done the Sunday Monday.
Yeah, that's not surprising. But
they were festival havers.
So, I mean, I just don't get that part. Sacrificing... I mean, if you're God, surely you can just do whatever you need to do, right? And, I mean, the thing is... Let me ask you this, Dave.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna even short sell it. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to nail you to a cross. Okay.
Uh-huh, you're giving me the elevator pitch.
You're going to hang there. It's not going to be pleasant. Okay? It is not going to be pleasant. It's going to be pretty unpleasant. I don't know. It's going to be pretty
both.
Bad.
It's going to be both. It's going to be
I don't know where it
unpleasant.
Falls on the scale of waterboarding. Most people are probably going to consider it worse than waterboarding. That depends on your feelings about drowning.
But hold on though. Is crucifixion torture?
I don't know. Somebody called Dick Cheney.
I'm just saying, if Jesus has time-vital information to prevent an imminent threat...
You gotta waterboard him.
No, I was gonna say crucify him.
But I'm thinking he can walk on water, so just when you waterboard him, the water just...
Whack!
Just
whack! No, I assume she's gonna be like, basically boarding him.
Just boarding him.
You know, just smacking his face against the board.
Let's get back to the offer I've got for you, okay?
Okay, back to the elevator pitch.
So...
Okay, so I believe we were at... It's going to be really unpleasant.
It's going to be really unpleasant. It's going to be bad. And they're going to leave you up there for a while. But at the end of it, which might be 3 days, it might be 2 days, I don't really know. At some point, they pull you down and put you in a cave. At the end of it...
Hey, hold on. Is this cave going to be dark?
Yeah, it's probably going to be dark.
It's going to be dank.
It's likely to be pretty dry, actually, because it's in... It's in Jerusalem.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I do not like the dank.
Yeah, you don't want the dank. But at the end of it, you come out, you'll be fine. Wounds will heal. No problem. $1 billion we're going to give you. And that's cash money. That's in the bank for you to withdraw at your leisure. Now, I don't think you could spend $1 billion, but if you do, we're giving you another $1 billion. In fact, every time you spend the $1 billion we give you, we'll give you another, whatever. Cars,
oh, man.
Women,
wait,
whatever you
hold
want.
Hold on, I have a question.
Right.
When did the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus also become the delightful film Brewster's Millions?
it's related. Would you take the deal? How do you feel about that? Temporal torture, pretty short. In the big picture, and then not ultimate power. I'm not even giving you ultimate power. I'm just giving you loads of
cash
material
money.
Wealth. Yeah,
cash money.
Right. If you want some ultimate power, we might be able to throw some in.
So yeah, I guess this version of the Jesus parable, in which instead of you yourself saving your own whatever, and it's confusing in this version, which is you. Offering me, big money, big prizes.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm on board.
All right. So the point is that you would do it for less than Ultimate Power.
Right.
So if you already have Ultimate Power and you do it, then is it really that bad?
Well, it's 'cause you're you, but you're also not you.
It doesn't make sense.
I'm with you there.
Yeah, if you're a god, if you're omnipotent, hell, even if you could just heal the dead and stuff, you got some powers kicking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What does the if you're going to transcend, if you know you're going to be brought back, what does the death mean then?
Yeah, the whole exercise doesn't seem like it actually means a lot.
Well, it's just that it's a God works in mysterious ways angle, which just basically means this don't make no sense.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, anything that's God works in mysterious ways is we don't understand the Bible because it doesn't make sense. It's confusing. Yeah.
The fun part about it is if you look at the whole story of God, of this guy, Yahweh, Jehovah, this specific God, right? If we look at his whole story, he wins exactly one contest ever. Okay? He is a loser, by far. Okay?
Wait, hold on. On the other hand, he's got that... I agree that in terms of explicit contest, he's got that one win on his record problem. Right. Where are you tacking all these losses for?
Alright, here we go. Ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm interested in hearing this. Then I've got a thought to close this out.
I create a world, right?
Uh-huh.
Doing good, right? Bam.
I'm saying it was good.
Because I said so.
Give that in a win column. Put that in a win column.
All right, well, let's say that is a win column. He creates the heavens and the earth. What have you made? Let's look at the big picture. Why? He creates the heaven and earth, and he's like, all right, well, I'm going to make some aminals, I'm going to make some plants.
Yeah, and you know, everyone likes the aminals.
Yeah, they do.
That's a win. 2-0.
No.
2-0.
No, those aren't contests. Here comes the big thing. Because here's the thing. If you're a god and you can make shit, that's not a win. Right? Here's what he does. He makes a talking snake, a tree of knowledge, and then a dude and his wife. Now it's like he's playing The Sims at this point, right?
Pretty much. Except with the talking
snake.
He's got shit
set up and then he just lets it go, right? Well, that doesn't turn out well. Because the tree of knowledge, which he was sure, you know, is fine, because he told, hey, Adam, don't eat from the tree, lest ye shall surely die.
Well, here's the thing.
And, you know, he's got this, and he thinks he's got it set up pretty good. And then the snake, which he himself made, who is likely not to be Satan, by the way, because that interpretation is likely to be incorrect. It is likely that this is a talking snake with legs, mind you.
Yeah.
So, because there's no reference to this snake entity as the devil, as Satan, as Lucifer, as anything else, right? Anyways.
Old Scratch.
It's just Bitey the snake, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Bitey the walking snake, walking talking snake, screws it all up. And he made Bitey the walking talking snake.
Well, here's the thing. If he made Bitey, then I don't think this is the lost column for him. It's just another one of his team's wins.
It's a different team.
Basically, God's playing fantasy baseball, and he's got two teams in the league.
All right, well, then
no, you know what this is like? You know what this is like?
What?
Remember when me and Chuck are both in a fantasy football league together, right?
Right, we are in a fantasy football league.
So, remember when we were one team short?
Right.
So you made the one auto team to fill it in?
Yeah.
And, you know, the auto team was basically the horrible scrub team, and they were just there, you know, to make the numbers work. But every now and then, the auto team would pull out a victory.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Bitey the Snake is just the auto team.
You can
Bitey
feel that way,
Bitey the Snake is the fantasy draft auto team. Which,
we're
in case,
done.
Means God lost. God, you know, God lost to the other team God co-created sort of as a gag.
Right.
Oh, he's just like, okay, I'll make
all right,
a
so
snake.
You're willing to count that as a loss?
Sure.
Okay, that's a loss. So we're moving forward.
But he lost
now.
To a team he made. He
we're
lost
moving
to,
forward
because like, oh,
we're
well,
not
could,
even to the win yet.
You know, it's like, okay, so I've drafted Adam, I've drafted Eve. Okay, this team is a tree and a snake with legs.
All right, let's see. So we cast them out. Bam. It's all right. Okay, good. No, we're doing all right. All right, well, now there's these two brothers, right? One sacrifices animals, and the other brings like crap from the field.
Grains.
Yeah. And
grains,
God's like, animals. Yeah. I love animal sacrifice. This rules. And then what happens? His favored one, the guy who brings him the animal sacrifices, gets killed by his brother, right? I can't count that as a win.
I don't know.
Because he's God. Know. This is a kicker moment for me in the whole story. God comes to Cain and he says, "Where's your brother Abel?" And Cain's response is, "I am not my brother's keeper," right? But really, Cain's response should have been, "You know exactly where he is, motherfucker. You're God."
Well, here's the thing on that is, that's clearly, I mean, I've got a general point about where this is going. Because right. I see where you're going with
you
this.
You see where I'm going with this?
But first, on that specifically, I feel like the point is, that's one of those things where, you know, you're not going to give that answer because that's one of those questions where it's like, who took the cookies?
Yeah, but still.
You know, I mean, you're not just going to say, you know, because that's one of the things like, okay, mom knows who took the cookies. You know mom knows who took the cookies. But everyone just has to say these things because they want them said by, you know.
So you're comparing Cain, a full-grown adult man by the time of the story, to a child with his mother.
Yes, as compared for unto the Lord, an adult man is like a child. That's what it says in the Gospel of something.
This is when God is talking to people still, by the way. Yeah. So, I mean, they're buddy-buddy. Jesus is just all right, you know what I'm saying? Anyways.
Not yet.
So let's move forward more. Let's go forward. Okay, I'm going to skip over a lot of losses.
Here's the thing. I think you've got your... I'm getting your general point now, but I just want
to
say...
I got to get to my favorite
one. I feel like God might not be playing the game you think he's playing. I think God's running a long, I don't know, weird, long game. I don't know.
I don't think he's playing any game.
Well, I mean, in the long run, but...
But he's already like playing a losing game here, right? Maybe he's like in civilization and the other civilizations already invaded his base.
Save reload.
And they're in his base killing his dudes.
Talking about the reload.
Yeah, and he's like, I guess I'll keep going. So he keeps going for a while, right? And then eventually he's like, okay, I can't keep this going anymore. I'm gonna delete this game and start a new game. And he takes Moses. I mean, so he's lost again.
Noah.
Admitting his loss, he takes Noah and six people to inbreed a whole new race of inbreds after he floods the world and kills everything else. This is just the worst, because Adam and Eve, being the first people, inbred all their children. And it gets worse from there, because... Well, first of all, I'm not exactly clear who Cain had sex with to have children.
No, there's just some other people.
I don't know.
It's funny how that works, but anyways, there's more people.
That's neither here nor there. Then, so he's got all these inbred bastards, and then not being inbred enough, he takes Moses' family. Noah's family to inbreed the human race even more. Anyway, so we got to count that as a loss. He lost. He had to wipe out the whole earth, right? And then he's like, "Rainbow, look, not going to do that again. Okay, it's cool. After this, we're cool." So, anyways, that's at least two or three losses he's racked up there. And I'm not counting a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, we skipped.
So we'll skip. Moses, people are in Egypt, and now this is one of the confusing ones because God could be like.
Moses, he pulled that one out in the ninth inning. I think that's kind of a walk-off home run.
What's the deal with that? What's the deal with, like, hey, let my people go, and God's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make it so Pharaoh doesn't. And he hardens Pharaoh's heart. What's going on there?
You know?
Again, what kind of game was he playing? Anyways, keep going. I think that's the thing.
I think he's playing a stranger game than you know.
Let's fast forward some more, right?
Like, you talked about The Sims earlier. You're like, he's basically throwing a game of The Sims. So you know how eventually
like
The Sims...
Populous, like where you just flood the people and kill them and laugh?
I'm just saying, when you play The Sims, you know, it never ends in just like, okay, yeah, I've got this guy friends, I've got him, you know, his dream job. No, when you play The Sims, it ends, oh, I wonder what happens if I, you know, cask of Amontillado this guy. He pees himself. You know, that's how you play The Sims.
So you're saying that God is playing a game much like a 12-year-old boy plays with ants.
Yeah.
Or a grasshopper that he's caught.
Yeah, and he's racking up the wins.
He's racking up the wins in that case. So fast forward, you got the Job thing, which is a contest. He wins, but at what price? No
price, because he gives Job all the stuff back better. Everything's happy, because memory doesn't exist.
Memory doesn't exist. Except when it does, when Jesus goes on the cross, because Jesus' suffering meant a lot, Job's not so much. I don't get that, but anyways. So we'll go to the Jesus thing now. Now here you have a guy who's faced with a world he's created.
Actually,
and
I will say, the book of Job, though, and again, this is something that's dear to my heart, because I know this says, I guess, what kind of 13-year-old I was, but for my Haftorah at my bar mitzvah, I read from the book of Job.
Boils and blisters.
Something like that,
yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There's this point in the book of Job where it gets kind of just, where it's interesting as a piece of literature, where he's ruined and he's sitting with his friends and it's a philosophical discussion and debate of, you know, how this can happen and, you know, how God can let this happen and why good things happen to bad people. And in that,
bad things happen to good people.
And whichever. why do either of those things happen?
I don't know.
None of it makes sense. But anyhow, I don't even know what I said.
Go ahead.
But God comes down and makes my favorite argument of the Bible, which is, I think, the argument that God would make respond to the reasonably cogent arguments that you're putting forth.
Right.
Basically, God comes down to Job, and God says to Job, "Were you there when I made the earth and the heavens and the sky?" And Job says, "No." And God says, "Were you there when, you know, I made, you know, the animals of the field and the birds and the fish?" And Job's like, "No." So then God says, "So shut the fuck up." Basically. That's paraphrased correctly in the Bible, and that's pretty much the argument. And I feel like that's how God, you know, that's the counter argument he musters to you right now.
Right. Shut the fuck up. I wouldn't be surprised. But anyways, you get to this situation with the Jesus thing, where he's made rules about sinning and going to hell, and he decides he does not like those rules, and he wants everybody to get into heaven. Now, as surely as he made the rules, he could unmake them. But in order to unmake them, he must send a guy, who is him, that he somehow impregnates a woman to birth, when surely he could just magic him up.
Hey, come on. I'm just saying, I'm going to even be going, you know, not with, you know, the go fuck yourself thing, but just based on the standards, I'm just saying, impregnating a lady just randomly because you can, that's a win for God.
That is a win
that's
for God.
That's a win for God. Come
that's
on.
A win for God. Come on, baby.
That's scamp. That's scamp.
Anyways, so instead he gets born, and that's pretty awesome. He's just an awesome kid, because you have Zoroastrians coming from across the world following a moving star to get to him. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, again, win. He's racking up the wins now. There.
But then he disappears for years. Comes out. Now he's a carpenter, ready to preach and proselytize.
A fine trade.
And
I think that's a win.
Sacrifice himself to himself.
Wait, don't forget, though.
And
Big win over the moneylenders.
Yeah.
Big win.
Well, I don't know, big win, but they're still moneylenders, buddy.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to go. If I looked at what Jesus said in various places in the Bible, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, and then compared it to what his followers today actually do, I would count a lot of losses.
Yes, fair.
Yeah. There's like 2 billion Christians. I'd probably count like 1.99 billion losses. Not a lot of blessed are the meek these days. You know, I mean, healthcare reform gets people shooting through windows and stuff, and you know those are Jesus people. You know they're Jesus people. But the sick and the poor, they're not too interested in. Anyway. So I just count a lot of losses on this guy. It doesn't look like he's doing too well. That's just me. It might be a matter of perspective, honestly. I don't know, but it's a long con, man. That's all I'm saying. It's a long con.
Yeah, God is really working that game. He's running the angles. I'm saying one day, God's going to kind of pull off that big final move. And suddenly, you're going to wake up and you're just like, you know, I thought God was doing pretty bad. I thought he was down in the game. But God's gone, and so is the big suitcase full of money. Suitcase full of money.
And the
and then I can tell you who's laughing heroin. At that point. God.
Yeah. Well, you know, at that point, when God runs off with all the money and the coke and the heroin.
And what the hell kind of card game is this?
It's not a card game. I was thinking of the end of, Trainspotting.
Yeah,
choose life. So anyways, at that point I would not say Jesus is just all right with me. I would be reasonably pissed.
Jesus just came and took my coke.
Yeah, that's no
Jesus
good.
Just left me super broke.
Yeah, I think it was heroin in Trainspotting.
Yeah. Trainspotting's all heroin. But
I said coke, so whatever, I'll stick with it. So. It does. You good job.
Okay, and at that
I think we take a short break, come back
with another Easter.
Another segment. So happy Zombie Jesus Day, everybody. We'll be right back with more I'm Trying to Think. I will surrender to the idea that God is the house, and the house always wins. Maybe.
Boom. There you go.
All right, welcome back to episode 31 of I'm Trying to Think. That was Brian Ferry with Don't Stop the Dance.
That was a little more macho than Brian Ferry deserved.
Brian Ferry.
That's better, because you were very much like, Brian Ferry.
I'm Chuck Warner, this is Dave Stern. Happy Easter again. It's probably not too
continue.
Happy. Yeah, if you're an Easter celebrator, you're probably not too happy after that last segment.
No, I don't know. Maybe just like eggs, chocolate.
That's possible too. So, Dave,
yeah, I mean, you went on that, you know, rant, but you love you some fucking peanut butter chocolate eggs.
I really do. They're bad for me, but
well,
what are you gonna do? They hit the pleasure center of the brain. This study actually. Side note here, I don't want to spend too long on this, but the study had come out that I saw somewhere where people were like, found that food can, you know, stimulate the pleasure centers of the brain in a way that makes it addictive. And I was like, duh.
Yeah.
That
seems like it jibes well with observation.
Food, drugs, alcohol, masturbation. I mean, take your pick. Anything that causes pleasure in the brain, if you can be repeated, it could probably form an addictive
habit.
Habit, yep. Yeah.
All right.
Brain's kind of built for that.
Yeah, man, that may have been a mistake.
Yeah, intelligent design.
Let's put that
phases,
in the loss column for God.
In the intelligent design phases, addictive brain chemistry may have been a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So
also,
anyways, you
nuts
story.
On the outside of body.
That's
thanks, God.
Why? Oh, man.
I mean, you can't just say, you know, tell you what, we'll tuck that in there and the temperature is slightly cooler as you need because I'm God.
Yeah.
Come on.
A retractable penis would have been fine, too. Like, fully
retractable.
That's different. Anyways, Dave, you had a story.
Story's generous.
It's the fourth time I've...
Story's generous, but, you know, before we wrap things up, which we're, you know, almost towards, I just want to say, while I was coming over here, went by, drove by the movie theater on your street, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's going out of business soon, but for now
it
is.
I think
still
it's out
there.
Of business, actually, but they just
okay,
show
but
stuff.
They haven't...
Oh, they had stuff on the marquee. It might be because they own the theater up the street, and they're advertising for it. I don't know. They said that the last day of business was a while ago, so...
Well, they've still got crap on the marquee, so...
Yeah, who knows.
But they had a sign for what I... assume at least was the Tom Ford movie A Single Man,
right?
Which is, you know, as I understand it, you know, I keep up on movie news somewhat, so you know, it's movie about where, well, it's Colin Firth as a gay man whose, like, longtime husband, companion, whatever, has just died. And it's sort of, you know, a very moving study of grief. And, you know, that's great. You know, that's not generally the type of movie I watch, but it sounds good.
Right? I think you see Colin Firth's wangle dangle in it, too.
Probably.
Would you like wangle dangle or wingle dangle?
Wangle dangle.
Or I think wingle dingle, I'm not going to go with, but wingle wangle, maybe. Wingle wangle?
No, that's wingle waggle. That's different.
I'm going to stick with wingle waggle. Dangle then.
Do you see his wingle waggle?
I'm pretty sure you see the whole package.
Okay. Anyhow, I think that's not the point. The point is, though, on this marquee, you know, obviously they're going to do some things on a marquee. Like, you know, marquees are not the place for your articles, you know, definite or indefinite. So, okay, so, you know, instead of a single man, it's single man. Right. And that's fine. But they kind of spaced it so that it's one word. It's just single man.
Right.
Which to me just sounds like the saddest superhero, you know? That just seems like...
I don't know what he could do. What do you do if you're single man?
Well, see, here's the problem. You haven't been single man for about, you know...
It's been a while.
6 years at this point.
I can remember back.
I'm going to say...
At what I did when I was single man.
Yeah, as someone who, you know, more recently had been in the identity, you know, in that mighty heroic identity of single man...
Right.
I feel like his powers involve, like... putting things that shouldn't necessarily go together as a microwave meal in a microwave and having dinner. Not knowing what to do with themselves on a Saturday.
Here's what I experienced when I was a single man, when I was posing as single man, mild mannered, or during the day, mild mannered, you know, guy, Chuck Warren. Yeah. At night, single man. I spent a lot of time trying to not be single man anymore.
Yeah,
and trying to
be
couples man. Yeah. In retrospect, far too much time was spent trying to be couples man. Because it turns out, when you actually, like, end up not being singles man in a satisfactory manner, it just kind of falls on your lap.
Yeah, that is the sort of irony of it.
Yep, you look your ass off for it, and then it's just there. And you're like, oh... Fuck.
So yeah, that's kind of single man's powers are mostly having inappropriate meals.
A lot of inappropriate interactions with women.
Ill-fitting clothing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, man.
A lot of holes in things.
Yeah, yeah. Not having curtains in places maybe you should have curtains.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that's one of the awesome powers
of single
man. You should
have a lot of curtains when you're a single man because the chance of your window turning into the window the local butcher shop is high. You know what I mean?
No, actually.
I mean somebody gazing through your window and getting a look at your fine cut of meat.
Ah, okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, now I got you.
Yeah.
Now I got you. Okay, so not only, you know, is, you know, single man, you know, this movie, but you know how movie marquees are often kind of structured where it's like, you know, they have the individual lines, the lines are kind of grouped into two, like it's like a white line, then there's like a black dividing line, so they're kind of clumped into two.
I do know that.
So, in this top two, it was Single Man, Wolf Man. So...
All you needed was Versus, and you could have put it up there.
That would be genius.
Single Man versus Wolf Man.
I would watch that movie. I wouldn't watch either of those movies. Again, actually... Probably a single man more likely than the Wolf Man.
Cause, I would watch both of those.
Because a single man looked, you know, pretty good for what it was, and then the Wolf Man looked mediocre.
I can watch Anthony Hopkins suck and still have a good time.
That's true. It did have Anthony Hopkins.
I watched, what is that, Primal or something, where he plays this doctor that goes crazy after spending a lot of time with gorillas. And he's in a mental hospital.
Oh, man.
And,
please tell me this is on instant Netflix.
I don't know, but Cuba Gooding Jr. is his doctor.
Oh, my God. I remember that. I never saw it.
It's a terrible movie.
Well, it's Cuba Gooding Jr. as a doctor. It's not going to be good. But okay. But anyhow, but yeah, I would see Single Man versus Wolf Man, I think, more than I would see either of them individually.
I would see Single Man versus Wolf Man first, of course.
So, I mean, is it, you know, the superhero who puts strange cheeses in the microwave, or is it just...
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Or is it just, you know, a grieving gay man versus a wolf man?
A grieving gay man versus a wolf man.
Hmm. Where do you put your money?
That's a tough one. That is a tough, tough call. Hmm. It depends on, like, the Wolfman. Does the Wolfman have enhanced hearing?
There's an enhanced hearing. And the, how supportive of a friend and family structure does the grieving gay man have?
Yeah, that's a good question. The less, the better for his chances, I think.
You think he needs to be more of a...
like a grieving gay man full of rage. Like, because he's reached that stage of grieving, you know?
Because he has no one to help him sort of process it more therapeutically. So he's just got to get through it by beating the ever-loving shit out of a wolfman.
Exactly. That's what I'm picturing, right?
Because
it's like denial, anger, right? That's second phase, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you're thinking he needs to be in second phase, but then you take him?
Well, see, I think denial, he's going to get through that quickly when there's a wolfman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And denial, I think, is the one that most people get through the quickest. But
it's dead. He's dead.
Yeah, you got to keep. Yeah, denial doesn't work for very long. Anger can work for a really long time, but denial, and bargaining. You don't want to bargain with a wolf man. You can't bargain. Can't bargain with a wolf.
I don't know. Kibble.
Now I'm telling you, you cannot bargain. I could have this tattooed on my arm. Because it is so true.
Oh, wait, would you have it tattooed like Memento?
Kind of, yeah. 3, cannot bargain with a wolf man. I would love to get some truisms tattooed on me in the style of Memento. 1, but like and, dumb. Numbered.
Yes.
Not dumb, but I'm just, they're random, true. They're excessively
random.
True.
Random.
I mean, just... so present, so presently true and factual. 3, you cannot bargain with a wolf man. I don't know what the rest are, but I'll tell you what. If anybody has any suggestions, write us at contact@imtryingtothink.com with your truism tattoo. I'm trying to think of another T, but submissions.
Truism tattoo T-mails.
T-mails, right. Send us T-mails. We've graduated beyond E through S mails.
Yeah, fuck those.
Fuck that shit. We're going to T.
I think T mail is like...
is that like Gmail, but for Tugel?
I don't know. I figured it was more like mail, but, you know, for little kids who are too little to be able to, like, get mail that's, you know, thrown at them. So they have to put it on the thing.
You know how the kids today love the irony?
Yeah, they love the irony and the sarcasm.
We could make a really terrible alternative to Google and probably make a lot of money.
It's like...
if it was just really bad. Like, awful. Like, ironically bad.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, Yahoo's not doing that great.
If you search on Yahoo, you usually still, I think, find what you are intending to find. I'm talking about something that maybe... sometimes when you search, it just doesn't want to work. Sometimes it tries to give you personal advice based on what you searched for. You should just actually see a doctor. Don't Google this. You want to see a doctor.
So just like disappointing slacker best friend Google?
Yeah, yeah. Like a guy who finished 2 years of college, 2.5 years of college Google. Like he thinks he knows everything. He really, like, you don't, you hate this guy.
He had so much potential, and you shake your head, Google.
Well, like, you're like an 18-year-old kid. You're about to graduate, you know, from high school. And you go to a lot of parties in your senior year, right? And there's Google. You know, he's taking a break from college.
It's shitty Google.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. But Tugel, if you will. There's Tugel. He's taking a break from college, you know. You remember him when you were a freshman doing keg stands, you know, and... not you doing keg stands. You remember Tugel doing keg stands.
Tugel's all about it.
And Tugel's like, dude, do you want to know about Marxism? I totally took a class on Marxism. You know? And then Tugel answers your Marxism questions. Not extreme. Not with a lot of insight, though. Not with a lot of insight.
All right.
Political science major.
Yeah. Tugel. No, maybe communications.
Yeah.
Now, communications had no soul. Tugel wasn't into it.
Tugel wasn't into it. Communications had no soul, right? Political science, philosophy, right? I mean, I don't want to... we're obviously not going to say anything derogatory about people with philosophy degrees in this room. Or people who majored in philosophy. But if political science, philosophy, that might be, you know...
It's different.
If you only...
That's completely different.
If you only had 2.5 years, it's that third and fourth year that you really want. Yeah. That's when the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's when you take courses that aren't survey courses, which Tugel was all about some survey courses.
Oh, he loved the survey course. I hate Tugel.
Yeah, we got
it. But anyways, T-mail us.
T-mail us tourism tattoo suggestions.
Suggestions.
If you have any more insight on Wolfman versus a grieving gay man, tell us about it.
If you're a grieving gay man who's fought a Wolfman, if you've bargained with the Wolfman, tell us how that went. Or I'm willing to bet not good.
Or if you're a Wolfman who's fought a grieving gay man.
I mean,
we want to hear from you, too.
Maybe you have a story. You have a story, too. You have a story, too. I don't even want to say maybe. You definitely have a story, Wolfman. You have a story. Tell us if somebody bargained with you. Tell us what your bargaining methods are and how you appraise situations with your Wolfman insight, your keen Wolfman insights. All right. Well, I think that's about it. We'll be back in 2 weeks, right? With episode 32.
More.
Anything? Is there anything else we're missing out on here, Dave?
No, I think we're good.
We gotta be good because this show is quality entertainment, and we have to produce. So thank you for listening. I think you were pointing at me there.
No.
Okay,
I think we're good.
All right, cool. We're good to go then. We'll see you with episode 32 in 2 weeks. For now, I leave you with the last classic rock song ever recorded. I promise you.